All right, turn in your Bibles, if you would, with me to Psalm 56. We're just going to just briefly touch here real quick before we dive into the real message. This month, we have been in Sunday school teaching the kids about Esther. And one of the verses that the kids are memorizing is Psalm 56:3. And they could probably all recite it from memory since we learned that, we went over it this morning. But verse 4, I want to also look at too. This next week, we're approaching a week where the world highlights on fear, highlights on horror, things that are of the darkness, you know, with Halloween coming up. And it can be very easy to get discouraged. It can be very easy to, you know, just feel the attack, you know, upon your spirit. And I love this psalm. Verse 56, or Psalm 56, verse 3, it says here, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God I will praise His Word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." So as we look around and we see all the ghouls, the zombies, the vampires, the, you know, just what the world is offering this week, don't let that fear you. You know, don't let that get to your heart. Remember, you know, we have the Lord. We have the Lord. And what time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. So I just want to be encouraged with that psalm. And one of the greatest ways, as we trust in Thee, as we focus and we learn about just some of the things that God has for us. And tonight, I want to focus on one of the aspects of God. And, well, one of the things that is just, I mean, I can't even scratch the surface. But tonight, I want to just look at a love divine. God's love towards us. I mean, you can't, I'm telling you, you can't scratch the surface of it. It is incomprehensible. Turn with me to John 3:16. I know we, most of us in here probably know it by heart. We can memorize it, quote it, but how often do we just kind of overlook it sometimes? We just overlook what the great truths that it has within us, within these verses here. I mean, I'm thankful for that this verse is in the Bible. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, before we get too much further, let's go ahead and Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You so much again, Lord, for Your love. And Father, as we look at that tonight, I just want to encourage, just lift us up, Lord, as we go into a week, Lord, where there's going to be spiritual battles. God, where the darkness of this world is going to be unveiled. And Father, I just pray that You would just lift us up. Father, as we go throughout our week, let us remember Your love towards us. And it's just, all I can say is, it is amazing. And Father, I just want to say thank You, Lord, for loving a sinner like me. And Lord, I pray that You would just get all the honor and glory as we look at Your Word tonight. And Lord, I pray if there's someone here that is not saved, that does not know Your love, has not accepted Your Son, Jesus Christ, as their Savior, Lord, that they would do that tonight. And Lord, that they'd be able to begin a new life under Your love. And Father, we give You all the honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. John 3:16 is probably one of the greatest verses in the Bible. I mean, it tells the exact reason why Jesus even came from heaven. I mean, it just sums it all up. You know, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It is the greatest promise from God to you and I. I mean, it contains the greatest promise, eternal life. Not only that, but forgiveness. And all we have to do, we don't have to work our way there, all we have to do is believe. That is amazing. There's some different things as I was thinking about the love of God. Just a couple of just some points, I guess you could say, that to me just kind of stands out when I look at this verse. The first thing that I see is that the love of God is universal. The very first part of the verse says, "For God so loved the world." I mean, no other religion tells of a God becoming man and sacrificing Himself for people who, not for those who would love Him, but for those who hated Him, who, you know, use His name as a swear word, and those who would not love Him back. I mean, God knew that not everybody would trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, and yet He died for them anyway. I mean, He died for us when we were lost. I mean, I don't know about you, but there was times when before I trusted Christ as my Savior, when I thought about Jesus Christ, to me it was no big deal. You know, if anything, I just, you know, it was just a religion. It was something that I didn't care for. And yet, even before I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, He still loved me. He still loved me. I mean, He loves those who mock at Him, who, you know, draw different cartoons, you know, mocking Him and making fun of Him. Those who write books and, you know, denounce that Christ was even a real person. I mean, He died for people who hated Him. And there is no other religion that talks about the love. And He did that in love. It is for all people and nations. I mean, it is amazing to think that it doesn't matter where you're from. You know, I'm from the United States. But we've got several countries represented here tonight. And He died, and He loved us, and it's not bound by any kind of boundary. It originally was to the Jews. But yet now we as Gentiles have access to that love. Another neat thing is that there's no language barriers when it comes to God. When I grew up in what they call small town America. You know, when I went to school, the only time I ever heard a foreign language spoken was at school in French class and Spanish class. Nobody ever spoke a different language besides English. And so, to me, that's all I knew. But the Lord allowed me to go on a missions trip to Mexico back in 2004. And it was an eye-opening experience to me. I had never been to a foreign country. Granted, Michigan is right next to Canada, but you never really count Canada as a foreign country sometimes. But when we went down to Mexico, it took me out of my comfort zone. It allowed me to see people living in conditions that I never could even fathom. But it allowed me to see a zeal and a hunger and a love for God that it just amazed me. And one time I had an opportunity to preach. And obviously I needed an interpreter because I didn't speak Spanish. And I just happened to be going to like a vacation Bible school type of thing, like a Bible camp like we have here. And the preacher there, he asked if any of us wanted to preach. And so I said, sure, why not? And so the Lord put on my heart the story of David and Goliath. And I preached the story, and I actually had some of the kids come up and reenact it, you know. And because I had a guy with me that was huge, and so I had him portray Goliath, and they loved it. And so as I was preaching and giving the gospel, you know, I obviously had no idea what the preacher was saying. But anyway, I sat down after I was finished, and he began to talk to the children more. And then as I, you know, some of them, you know, raised their hand, and so they went over to another area. And some of the workers came over, and they began to talk to the children. And I began to hear them pray. And I didn't know what in the world was going on. I couldn't understand anything. And so afterwards, I asked the pastor, I said, when those kids went to a separate room with the workers and you know, they were talking to them, what was going on there? And he was telling me, well, those children that you saw just trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. What you heard them was praying and asking God to save them. And so it gave me goosebumps. It still gives me goosebumps today. You know, thinking that here, they're speaking in a language I have no idea. I can't even comprehend it. Yet God knew exactly what it was. He knew exactly what language, what they were saying. as they're pouring out their heart to Him, asking Him to save them. I mean, I'm glad that this love is not bound by language. It's not bound by nationality. That God's love transcends all of that. Where, I mean, you know, I speak English, you know, but we have several people here speak Korean, speak Tagalog, you know. I mean, Irish, you know, there are so many different languages here, even represented within our church, Afrikaans, that God understands every single word that we speak. To me, that's amazing. And that He wants to hear us pray. That He wants to hear us talk to Him. Because He loves to hear us. He loves it. And I am just so thankful that His love is universal. Not only is His love universal, but it's also unbiased. Romans 2:11 says, "For there is no respect of persons with God." See, the love of God has nothing to do with who we are individually. It doesn't matter what our race is, our religion, our age, our gender, our nationality, our education, and social standing does not earn God's favor more than anyone else. I'm thankful for that. I mean, here we are, Gentiles, worshiping a Jewish God. I mean, we had no right to have access to the promises that God has given the Jewish people. Yet, because of His love, He made a way for us. He made a way that we could have access to God the Father, a way to be able to experience His love, not only to the Jews, but for the whole world. I'm thankful that He has engrafted us in and that we have an opportunity to worship Him and to feel and to experience the love that He has for us. I'm so thankful that I don't have to be a certain education, that I don't have to be a certain social ranking in order to be able to experience God's love. That I can just go to Him as who I am. Just to be able to just say, "Lord, I may not be much, but thank You for accepting me anyway." I'm thankful for that. I'm thrilled that, you know, because sometimes there's days where you just feel like you're mud, you know, where the devil just works on your heart. He just discourages you. And you think, "God, how can You love me? How can You love me when I'm going through such a hard time?" And yet He still does. Because the devil wants you to believe that God doesn't love you. That He wants to make you think that, oh, you're worthless to God. And yet, to God, you are priceless. You are priceless. He loves you no matter who you are, where you're from, what your past was. That is what's so amazing with God. You can come from the worst past, done things so wicked, and yet God will still give you another chance. That God still loves you, and that He'll take you anyway. And that we don't have to feel like we have to prove His love. And that He just accepts us. I'm thankful for that. God's love is also unconditional. There's nothing that we can do to merit God's love. We don't have to do good works in order to earn His love. He freely gives it. You know, sometimes we feel like, you know, we have to somehow earn God's love. But we don't. He freely gives it. There are billions of people all over this world who are trying to work their way to heaven and trying to earn God's love or a place in His kingdom. But the amazing thing is that, as we saw in this verse, that God already demonstrated His love, His complete love towards us in the form of Jesus Christ. I mean, I love that. I mean, He demonstrated how greatly and how much He loved us by Jesus Christ coming and dying on that cross for you and I. It wasn't for our neighbor. It was for you and I. It was for me. It was for me. And it was for you. I'm thankful for that. It's also for our neighbor. But first and foremost, we have to make sure that we've accepted it first before we can tell our neighbor. Our show of love back to Him is by obeying His word. Turn with me, if you would, to John 13:35. Book of John, chapter 13, verse 35. This is one of the last few commandments, few opportunities that Jesus has to speak to his disciples before he's going to be crucified. Judas had just been dismissed, and so now Jesus is with his 11 remaining disciples and trying to prepare them for what was going to happen. In John 13:35, he writes here, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." That's how people are going to know that we're Christians. You see, God's greatest example was Jesus Christ. I mean, Jesus showed us the perfect example how love is supposed to be, not only towards God, but towards one another. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. You see, God has showed us His love. And we should also show God our love for Him. And by doing that, is by obeying His Word. Chapter 2, verse 3 says here, "And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His Word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked." The love of God abides in you, then your desire and your heart should be, "God, I want to be able to please You. God, I want to show You that I love You as well." And by doing that, and by obeying His commandments, we show our love back for God. And by doing that, as we also, by obeying His commandments, we show God's love towards others. I'm thankful that we do have the example. If you would, turn with me to Mark chapter 3, verse number 14, we'll look at. You see, Jesus had to show His disciples a bit about what true love really was. And we look at, especially the Apostle John. And John wrote a bunch about the love of God. But he didn't start that way. I think being around Jesus really showed where John was lacking in his love towards others. And as he saw Jesus ministering, as he saw Jesus reaching out to people, not only just to his disciples and loving them, but to those who came with him, those who were the sick, the lame. If you look here in Mark chapter 3, verse number 14. Let me get there real quick. I was a couple pages off. Verse 14 says, "And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and have power to heal sicknesses and cast out devils. And Simon, he surnamed Peter, and James, and the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, and he surnamed them Boanerges." I can't remember. How do you pronounce that, Pastor? It's a Greek word, but I want to say Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder. So, as I look at that, I kind of wonder the personalities of James and John. They weren't what we read later in 1 John, as John is writing about how we're supposed to love one another. He had a bit of, you know, maybe a just wasn't lovable towards people. If you look here, turn with me to Luke chapter 9. We'll kind of see some of his reactions, especially one in particular. In Luke chapter 9, look with me at verse number 46. "And there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be the greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child, and set him by him, and said unto them, Whosoever shall receive this child in my name, receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me, receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followeth not with us. And Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. So first of all, he didn't want other people helping others to cast out the devils, because they thought only they were allowed to do that. Verse 51 says, And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into the village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them, and said, Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. See, the disciples didn't understand that the reason why the Samaritans didn't have them come in is because Jesus' face was focused on Jerusalem, about what was going to happen at the Passover and his crucifixion. That was his focus. And as these Samaritans, who the Jews looked down upon anyway, the Jews would have nothing to do with the Samaritans. And so when they looked upon these villages and they weren't honoring Jesus, they weren't allowing him to come there, James and John just kind of got fed up with it. And they said, can we just destroy them? You know, they don't deserve to be, you know, to have you there anyway. And yet Jesus rebukes them. He rebukes them. Because first of all, they had the wrong spirit. They had the wrong spirit. You see, Jesus knew what was going on. James and John had no idea. But their reactions, as you can see, showed they just weren't there yet. They didn't have an understanding of what God's love really was about. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 4, verse number 7. Thankfully, though, that John began to understand that when Jesus was crucified, he really understood the love of God to him. And verse number 7, I'm glad that he was able to give us this portion of Scripture, that the Lord used him to write this portion of Scripture, because it's so encouraging to me. Chapter 4, verse 7, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. He finally understood. He understood what the love of God was about. He experienced it. He saw it firsthand. And I think it made such an impact on his heart that it changes his whole outlook in life. I'm glad that God's love is unconditional. The other thought that I had here is that God's love is unbelievable. Unbelievable. To imagine that God would love me, a wicked Gentile sinner, enough to give me opportunities to be saved. I don't know about you, but I had more than one opportunity to get saved. I had several people who had given me the gospel. I'm glad that the first time that I said, no, I'm not ready yet, that God just didn't cut me off and say, well, He had His chance, but that He gave me another opportunity, another opportunity, and another opportunity. I'm thankful for that. I mean, to me, I think about it, it just blows me away. It just, it, I've been thinking about this all weekend, and I've had a song in my heart all weekend just thinking about the love of God. And I'm telling you what, it lifted me up this weekend. It really encouraged me. I'm just so thankful that He did not give up on me when I did not know who He was. I mean, at that time in my life, I could care less who God was. But yet He didn't give up on me. And there's a whole world outside these doors, next door even, who have no idea that God loves them. Oh, they're told, and they're, you know, it's well, yeah, God loves us, but they really don't understand. They have no idea the depth of love that God actually has, that He sent His only begotten Son. I mean, that's why we need to tell them, because we've experienced it, and it would be selfish on our part to hold it into ourselves. To say, well, I'm saved, I've been forgiven, and that's it. No, we should be wanting to tell others about the love of God. It transformed me. It changed my life. I don't know about you, but it changed my life completely. And I'm thankful that God loved me so much that He gave me several opportunities. And now it should be a desire for us to go and tell others. As I read the Gospels and I look at the time as Jesus is going through the trials, through the beatings, the mockings, the crucifixion, He did that for me. He did that for you. I'm glad that God put it that descriptive, because otherwise I'd grow too calloused about it, thinking, oh, let's, you know, and just pass over it. But I mean, every time I read it, it brings a tear to my eye, thinking, He did that for me because He loved me so much. He loved me so much that He would go through the mocking, have His beard plucked out, go through the beating, being spit upon in the face. He did that for me. And He did that for you because He loved you so much. The thing is, if He had to do it all over again, He'd still do it again. Even if I was the last person on earth, He still would have done it. To me, that it's hard to believe, because I know I couldn't do that. I know that I wouldn't do that. And yet He did. He took my place on Calvary. It just blows my mind every time I think about it. Not only is it unbelievable, but it's also united. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I'm glad that when I accepted the love of God through Jesus Christ, His Son, that it united me with God. The Holy Spirit came within me and He sealed Himself in me. Just thinking about that alone is another one of those unbelievable things, that God would want to dwell in my life. Verse 35 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?" Verse 38 says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I love these verses because it shows us eternal security. There is nothing that can take us away from the love of Christ. I'm thankful that I can't blow it myself, because there probably would have been times I already had blown it. But yet, God still loved me. He still loves those who have turned their back on Him, that decided, you know what, I want to go back to the world. He still loves them. He still loves them. And He still is trying to draw them back to Him. And yes, He's still chastising them if need be. I'm thankful that no matter what happens in my life, I can never be separated from the love of Christ. The devil can't get in the way. My trials, my problems, my storms can't get in the way. If anything, those should bring us closer to the love of Christ. Those should drive us closer to God rather than sometimes we try to run away from Him. You see, when we accept God's love and His Son as our Savior, we are His forever. Nothing can remove us from the love of God. I'm thankful that God has united us with His love. I'm thankful that God's love is understandable. You see, He made His love so simple that even children can understand that Jesus loves them. I mean, I'm thankful that you don't have to have a PhD in the Bible to understand that God loves you. I'm thankful for that. I'm glad that He made it so simple that even the simplest person, maybe, you know, mentally or positionally, whatever in their life, that they can understand that there's a God above who loved them so much that they gave His only begotten Son. I'm glad that He made it so simple. I mean, sometimes we can't believe, well, you know, we hear testimonies sometimes maybe of children at age 4 or 5, you know, getting saved. Sometimes you wonder, well, was it real, you know? But the faith of a child is something that is unbelievable. Because they actually believe that there is a God. That they can, they when they pray, that they believe that He actually listens to them. Sadly, it's us who oftentimes get in the way. I mean, I think of our, you know, we've been having our Bible clubs for how many years now, Pastor? For years. And yet, I'm glad, I'm very thankful for all the kids who come out. I really am. But how many of those kids who wanted to come were told no by their parents? You know, maybe they heard something, oh man, this is going to be exciting. And they saw Bible Baptist Church hosting. No, can't go there. Can't go there. And they are keeping their children from the love of God. I mean, it got to a point, even with the disciples, that Jesus got upset with them. Turn with me to Mark chapter 10, real quickly. Mark chapter 10. Verse number 13. Mark 10:13. And they brought young children to Him, that He should touch them. And His disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, He was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto Me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And He took them up in His arms, put His hands upon them, and blessed them. I mean, God loves the children. He loves the children. He loves the kids. I mean, and the one thing, well, probably one of the several things disciples did, but it displeased God that they were holding back the children from coming to Him. I'm thankful that we have Sunday school. I'm thankful that we have an opportunity where we can teach the children. I mean, without a ministry like that, they're not going to understand the love of God. They're not going to understand what Jesus Christ did for them. Again, I'm just so thankful that He made it so understandable that anybody could understand. And lastly tonight, God's love is unending. There is no end to God's love for us. Even if we turn our backs on God, He still chastises us in love in order to bring us back to following Him. I'm thankful that no matter what, His love isn't going to end. And yet, even though my last breath may be upon this earth, I get to spend eternity with Christ. I get to spend eternity with God to be able to experience His love for the rest of eternity. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to the shout, waiting for the Lord to call us home. And this is just the beginning, folks. This is just the beginning. I'm thankful that it will not end. No matter where we are, no matter what happens in our life, God's love will not end. So I encourage you tonight, think about the love of God. When you're going through those times where you just think, you know what, why is life even worth it? You know, sometimes we allow our problems to get our focus in our life, you know, and it's hard to see past sometimes. And it's times like that that we need to dwell upon the love of God the most. I mean, most of you are familiar with the story when David was going to go to battle with the Philistines and against Saul's army, and the Philistines wouldn't let him. And so he returns back to his town there and had been ransacked, had been attacked. His wives had been taken, all the his soldiers, all their belongings, their wives, their families had been taken. And David was devastated. He didn't know what to do. And yet, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is that he said, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. You know, when you look at and just remember the love of God, remember that, you know what, we don't deserve it, but yet He still gave it to us freely. That's encouraging yourself in the Lord. That's encouraging yourself. You know what, I don't know what is on the other side of this storm, but I know that God is with me. I know that He is with me every step of the way. And no matter what, I can go through this. God wouldn't let us go through it if He didn't think that we could handle it. It's times like those that we can think about truths like this, about the love of God, and just be encouraged. And encourage yourself. God's love is so amazing and goes far beyond what we can comprehend. I'm thankful that, you know, sometimes we think we know what love is. And when we look at God's love, it just, you know, our thinking is kind of puts in a little wrap, you know. But then when we look at God's love, it goes way beyond that. We can't even comprehend. And in our human mind, we cannot even comprehend the depth of love that God has for us. We can't. And again, I'm not talking about an ooey-gooey emotional feeling here. Love is an action. And as we looked tonight at John 3:16, it was demonstrated by Jesus Christ, by Him giving His only begotten Son. That was His demonstration of His love towards us. And all we have to do is accept it. All we have to do is accept it. And I'm thankful that God so loved the world, because that included me and you. And that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, which means anybody, you know, for those Calvinists who think that only certain people can get saved, I don't know, whosoever kind of throws that out the window, in my opinion. Whosoever, anybody, everywhere, can get saved. All you have to do is believe in Him, that we should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm telling you what, I am so thankful. And as you go this week, think about God's love. Think about what it has done to you, for you. Encourage you this week. Allow it to be motivation to tell somebody else that how it has changed your life. Because there is a lot of people out there who have never known what it means to feel true love. I mean, I think that's probably one of the greatest desires people have, is to feel loved. To feel loved. And there's a lot of people out there this week, they're going to be celebrating this, the darkness of this world, as a way to try to find that love. But here, God's Word tells us right where it's at. Tell someone this week about God's love. I think it'll make you appreciate it even more. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer.